thank you so much, Rachel, and our MOPS ministry. And it's really neat to see how God is bringing a speedy recovery to our church and rebuilding through COVID, and to see the different streams of ministries aligning with our vision to really pursue God and to pursue people. And so it is very, very encouraging to hear. So thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. We have been going through a series called The Power to Change, and we are now at the final lesson that a number of our small groups have also been going through. We do have a small group that meets immediately after Sunday service directly in our conference room for anyone, and that's open to anyone. And so if you want to know a little bit more about small groups, what that's all about, you can jump in anytime. And most groups will be getting ready to have their final study of this in the next few weeks as we head toward the holidays. And so in this final lesson, we will actually do this in two parts. So I'll talk about this to a certain degree and then bring it to a conclusion and the whole Power to Change series next Sunday. This morning, we are talking about a phrase that I think is pretty applicable to us all. Keep going. Keep going. And a little bit different from the video series, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 to get started. Keep going. Here is the Apostle Paul, a monumental figure in the story of Christianity, the greatest of apostles, missionaries, a true pastor of both people and other leaders. And one of his churches that he helped found, the church in Corinth, were going through all sorts and manner of craziness, both internally and in the culture, instability, a lot of false teachers, false messages, a lot of infighting, a lot of people that were very confused about what exactly they believed in. What does it really mean to be a Christ follower? What does faith really look like? I mean, almost exact parallels to where we might find ourselves today. And so, as Paul, in his time and generation, takes a moment to look at the scriptures, which he had, the Old Testament Jewish scriptures, to look at the story of Israel, a group of people that experienced amazing things from God, chosen by God, yes, and to see what lessons that he and this church can learn. And then as we look at it, we in turn take his challenge to his people and see where we can learn and grow and be challenged. And so here we go, keep going. For I do not want you, verse 1, to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. Verse 4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Keep going. Paul is looking at the Jewish story, And then looking at his present situation in context of these group of people that are proclaim themselves as Christ followers, the church. And he reminds his people, and then consequently us, that we will inevitably face various forms of severe obstacles, severe trials, severe testing of our faith in our lives and our loved ones. And he points to the Israel story, the history of the Jewish people, to give them an idea of what this could look like and how in the midst of all the craziness that they can still keep moving on. And they will look to a God who is faithful to his children, despite the fact that everything may seem at odds against us. And because of that, because he is faithful, and we'll talk a little bit more about the character of God next Sunday, he indeed is with his people every step of the way. And because of that, we can find true hope. I find great comfort and encouragement as Paul is addressing the church of his time, 2,000 years ago. In a time of great instability, in a time where what we often find our hope in has been dashed before us, and no matter where you align politically, there are people that are rejoicing at the results of the midterms. There are people that are grieving. And Paul would say, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. And so there are two things I want to mention this morning as we look at our passage in verses 1 through 5 and then 6 through 10. In verses 1 through 5 that we just read, very simply, Paul says this as the secret, the key to keep on moving forward, keep going. He reminds the church, the people of God, that you aren't as strong as you think you are. You are not as strong. You are not as powerful. You are not as secure as you think you are, that you hope that you are, and that in your power and your own strength that you can keep going on as you grit your teeth, as you push yourself forward in life. This is what he gleans from the story of Israel. And this is the challenge that he gives to his church of his time. And this is also a challenge that we can receive as we, as modern people today, living here in America, here in New England, here in Connecticut, here in the Manchester area, as we move forward. You see, the defining mark of the Jewish people was the Exodus, being delivered by God out of bondage, of slavery for centuries, that would form the identity of God's people, the Jews. And Paul understood this very clearly, being a Pharisee among Pharisees. And yet Paul says in verse 5, though you have this identity and this experience that was so formative in demonstrating God's tangible love for you and your families, your loved ones. Verse 5, he reminds them, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so Paul looks back at some of the formative events in the history of Israel and among the Jewish people. And their experience, historically, of what they experienced in this amazing deliverance out of slavery by the hand of God through his redemption, through his grace, as an analogy for the Corinthians to learn from, and for us as well, since we are now in Christ, brothers and sisters across time, across cultures, to this church and even to the Jewish people. Paul is relating our baptism to the passing of Israel through the Red Sea. He is reminding them that they have experienced so much. But he warns them, even as he looks at his church, for those that experience the grace and the power of God, experience baptism and the Lord's Supper together, he warns them, do not overestimate your own strength and your own security and your own status before God. You see, the Corinthians were experiencing a lot of powerful things in their midst when they gathered together. The Holy Spirit came upon them very powerfully. They experienced God's outpouring in His Holy Spirit in different experiences and knowledge and visions and miracles and healings. And they would have the Apostle Paul to hear from and be taught by. And yet, Brian Rosner says this, and let me share this with you. They considered themselves spiritually strong and knowledgeable enough to enter into theological debate with Paul. Paul's warnings throughout this passage are intended to help them see that their behavior suggests that they are not nearly as secure as they supposed, and that reconsideration of their present attitudes and practices is a matter of great urgency. If the Israelites who experienced the power of God in a way that no other people have experienced in history, and yet many of them fell in the wilderness, they did not keep going on. And if the Israelites experienced that, hear the church of Corinth, Paul, with great urgency, is challenging them. You're not as strong. You're not as secure in your own strength and power that you think you are. And that is the beginning of wisdom. That is humility. And that is the first step in finding your ability to keep moving on. It seems counterintuitive. Don't we need to see ourselves as strong and secure and that we can do it? No. Don't forget how weak, how vulnerable, and at times how insecure we really are. We often overestimate our strength, our security, and our abilities, and often define those things outside of Christ. Whether it be financial, whether it be in your own smarts and your wits, whether it be in your giftedness, your talents, your accomplishments, your academics, your profound physical well-being and strength and health. Growing up, my mom wanted to instill strong physical health as much as possible. I don't know how many different protein powders and shakes she shoved down my throat year after year growing up in order to try to have her children as strong and healthy as possible. I didn't even know what half the stuff was. She just threw it into a blender, threw whatever she could find, and say, drink this and you'll live forever. Oh my goodness. Even in my prime young adult years, while walking my dog at the dog park, thinking, my goodness, this is life, this is beautiful, I'm with my dog, I'm enjoying the beautiful nature, and a man with about four or five smaller dogs came around me, our leashes got tangled up. I ended up falling forward. As he fell, he was behind me with his full weight, completely landed on my ankle. And it was the first time in my life that I experienced a breakage in one of my bones. I knew something was wrong when I could not get up, and the sheer burning pain that started to flow from my broken ankle, it was pure misery. The guy said, "Are you okay?" And then he took off. It was when a young family was towing their toddlers in a wagon that they said, "Sir, are you okay? You look like you're in a lot of pain." I said, "I'm okay. No, I am in a lot of pain. Please help me." And they put me on a little kitty thing. It was so embarrassing, so humiliating. Everyone was staring because I could not walk. I could not move. Here I was in the prime years of my health, and with a mix-up with our dogs and puppies, ended up, first time in my life, breaking a bone in my body. And even through that simple yet painful experience, that reminder that we are fragile. We're not that strong. We can't even prevent falling or tripping in a park, no matter how strong we think we are. God often sends us reminders to not overestimate our strength and ability. And so my application question, and we'll put it this time rather than at the end, is this: how has God been showing you that you aren't really as strong or secure as you think you are? That is the beginning of biblical wisdom. That is humility. And that is one of the key first steps in the ability to keep going on in your life in Christ. How has God been showing you that you're really not that strong? Strong as you think you are. And that's what Paul was trying to do with the church of Corinth, reminding them, though you boast in all these experiences, though you have walked through the waters of baptism, though you know the story, God's story of the nation of Israel, look what happened to them. Don't think of yourself as strong as you think you are. That is not the message we get from our culture, but that is a critically important step for us to keep moving on. Secondly, is this, Paul says, and we'll look at verses 7 to 10 in a moment, live in the present and not just in the past. Live in the present. Not just in the past. Paul points them to the story of Israel. Verse 7, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. He points them back to the story of Israel once again. Here you have a group of people that were nobodies, that God merely chose to demonstrate his love and power and grace. These people would experience mind-altering, blowing miracles and literally physical demonstrations of the power and holiness and beauty of God. They would, imagine, walk in between walls of water, as we see pictured here. Well, at least they're about to. They would see, as the walls of water would collapse, that their enemies, the captors, the Egyptians, this army, be completely annihilated. The nation of Israel would be guided not just by a sweet whisper of a voice, but they would be guided through a pillar of fire at night, and the cloud by day. I get excited just if my flashlight or iPhone is working at night to help me find my dropped glasses on the ground, let alone a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. Look at the physical presence of God manifesting before his people. And my goodness, manna from heaven to feed them and to satisfy their hunger. Yes, if it was manna, if it was Chick-fil-A, I would be really excited along with my kids. But regardless, manna from heaven. Israel would experience the most amazing blessings and demonstration of the power of God. And many of us, would we not? God, I would just have stronger faith if you would just show up and do this for me. Or if I would have won that $2 billion jackpot, was it? My goodness, amazing. God, would you show up? Do a little miracle in my life. I will follow you. I'll become a pastor or a missionary. I will give all that I have. Just show me that you are real. Well, here we have the record of God doing that over and over and over again to a group of people, the nation of Israel. And Paul is comparing the presumptuous attitude of God's people under Moses to the Corinthian church of his day. They had been through the waters of baptism. They have experienced miracles of God, not necessarily like the Israelites, but nevertheless, the power of God moving in their midst. They ate together. They were nourished spiritually, physically. They experienced the love of God in Christ. And even in the midst of that, Paul is telling them, just as the Old Testament believers were not immune from seeing their lives wrecked by unbelief and sin and the pride of their hearts, Paul is saying, don't over-rely on your past experiences in the present. The Corinthians, as he looked at this church that he loved and poured out his heart and life, were struggling with immorality, grumbling, idolatry, coveting, disunity, false teaching. And Paul says, don't boast about your spirituality. They had a false security because the power of God was poured upon them in their lives and in their church in the past. In the taking of the sacraments, in meeting Jesus, they were relying on God-given experiences and the means of grace rather than God himself in Christ. That was their source of security and strength. And Paul says that is very dangerous. The past, as beautiful as it may be, is something we are grateful for, we thank God for, we visit when we take trips down memory lane, but we cannot dwell there. That cannot be our security of the things we once experienced or did, or positions we served, titles that we had. As genuine as the move of God has been in our lives in our younger years, do not let those things provide a false sense of security of where you are today in Christ. We've had amazing experiences through the local church, Bible studies, mission trips, revivals, renewals. We're so thankful for them. They have created us to be the men and women of God we are today. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Christian race must be lived in the present, here and now. And the danger of past experiences is that they can give us a sense of false security of where we are today. That is what Paul is trying to warn them as he looks at Israel's history and as he looks at the church in Corinth. It is present day faithfulness that is most determinative. And we would be wise to keep that in mind. And so I share this with you. You can't survive on yesterday's manna that you had 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It has to be fresh. It has to be constant. It has to be daily. No matter what kind of glory days, as glorious as it was in your life, in years and times past, you meet those athletes who had their glory days. They continue living and talk about it from the high school, college years, but that was 30, 40, 50 years ago. Do you even exercise today now? Where are you? We live in the glory days of the past, but life has moved on, and the same thing applies to our journey of faith. And Paul is saying, never stop fighting. Never stop disciplining yourself. Never stop pursuing God today. Paul reminds us, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And so secondly, we're reminded not only to have a humble estimate of yourself, that you're not as strong, you're not as secure as you think you are, and God has ways of showing us that, and that is the first step for us to truly keep going on, is to realize actually how weak we are. And secondly, we have been reminded that it is not the past that we dwell in, but it is how we are living our faith today. And the greater the opportunities of blessing and service and ministry and impact that God uses, the greater the danger that we remain there, even if that was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so the message is, keep running today. Keep fighting today. Keep teaching, preaching, loving, and serving today, and keep praying today, because it is our present day obedience that is the true measure and understanding of our faith. We cannot survive on yesterday's manna. It's going to be nasty, absolutely nasty. And yet we keep it in a jar. It's 30 years old, but we still, oh, I remember. In a church like Trinity, with the long and beautiful history that we have, I think the greater the danger that that could be. I loved the past. We celebrated 130 years in earnest not too long ago, this past fall. We need to do that. We don't cancel the past. We don't erase the past. We celebrate God's faithfulness, but we use it to encourage us to live in the present. Don't hold back your hearts waiting for the perfect conditions of life to live a life of faith and boldness and courage. For years will pass by that you'll never get back before you realize, oh my goodness, I've missed out. I hope it's not too late. So be thankful for past experiences, past people, past ministries, but please don't just live in the glorified glory days of the past in your life. In Christ, the best glory days are still ahead. And so we close out with the question, why is present day obedience the true measure of faith? Today if you hear his voice, Scripture reminds us, do not harden your hearts. What might God be speaking to you today? Those are two things that we can glean from Paul's challenge to the church at Corinth as we think about the theme of keep going. Don't give up. Don't surrender. It begins with the realization that we're not strong as we think we are, and to live in the present, not just in the glory days of your past. With that, let's pray.